You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last Wednesday night, we got into the fact that God has given us authority. That we have authority. Now, it's not a matter of, you know, whether we have it or not. We have it. The Bible tells us we have it. And, of course, there's a, you know, we talk about abuse of power and abuse of authorities. I understand that. I mean, there's abuse in anything. But you don't throw everything away because it can be abused. You know how ridiculous that would be? People just eat too much. I'm going to quit eating. Well, you'll die. Hello? I mean, that's an abuse. If there's overeating, that's an abuse. But you don't just quit eating because people overeat. And we can go through all the list of things. Well, people with money, I'll tell you, that's just too big a temptation. So we just, what we do, just quit work, don't get money. Just because there's abuse of riches or temptation that comes with that, so on and so forth, temptation comes with everything. And so the question is, just keep yourself in line with the Word. Keep yourself in line with what God says. Continually check yourself, see if you're in the faith. The things that God gives are for our benefit. They can be abused, but they're supposed to be used. Amen? So tonight I want to talk about exercising authority. We talked about having it. We went through Genesis where God gave it to man. Man messed up and so on and so forth. But God didn't take it away from him. It's still there. And Jesus really came back and showed us the way it should be, how it should be done right when he walked the earth. Amen? And we're waiting around many times on God to do something. God's actually delegated us the authority to do what we are to do. Amen. You know, as sure as it'd be irresponsible of us to try to do something we weren't authorized to do, try to take over, you know, a job we're not called to do or we weren't hired to do. That'd be irresponsible. I think it's just as responsible not to do the job we are called to do. Hello. If I don't take my God-given authority and use my God-given authority, then I'm being irresponsible. Now, we talk about abuse of power. But I think just as important as abuse of power is, to understand the abuse of power, we need to understand the lack of use of power. Yeah. It's irresponsible to abuse power, but it's just as irresponsible to not use power.
That's right.
Are you out there?
Yes.
Most of what goes on in our life that we allow to go on, that God doesn't stop, He really has given us the authority to do something about it. That's why He's not doing anything, because you're the one who has authority.
Yeah.
I taught one time, God allows what you allow.
Yeah.
And people talk about God allowing. They'll say, well, you know, whatever happened, God allowed it. Well, yeah, but God allowed it because you allowed it.
Yeah.
Amen.
He allowed it because you didn't stop it, you know. And so we need to understand with every right comes a responsibility. So we talk about authority. That's good, and we should get stirred up about that. But that, with that comes a responsibility. With that comes an obligation. I mean, he didn't just say, well, now y'all lay hands on the sick if you feel like it, if you want to have a, you know, have some fun one day, go out and maybe pray for some people. I gave you authority to do that, you know. Well, no, he gave us authority to do that, so we would do it. You know, when things go bad, if you'll call on me, in fact, in the Old Testament it says, if you'll stand in this place and call on my name, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive your sin, I'll heal your land. If you'll stand in this place and you pray and call on my name, I'll show up, I'll be there. Well, that's nice. Well, no, that's more than just nice. That's our responsibility. When something goes wrong, to go to God. People accuse us many times when we're praying and believing God and standing on the Word, and you people down there at that church, y'all are always praying for stuff and always believing for stuff. Well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We're believers.
Right.
And they accuse us of abuse, maybe. You know, and maybe some people do abuse it. Maybe people do get lustful and ask amiss and ask greedily and so on and so forth. But I think it's just as tragic that we never call on God, never cry out to God, never use the authority, the name of Jesus that He's given us, and we never pray about things when we're supposed to be praying about things. So that would be a lack of use, which is just as irresponsible as abuse.
Right.
Well, the Lord acting said this, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, that may be true. Power may tend to corrupt, but it doesn't always corrupt because God's the one that gave it to us. Used rightly and accurately, it would be a good thing. Amen? And that's what we want to talk about, exercising authority. So, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 19. And as we start this, you'll probably wonder, what does this have to do with authority? Trust me, hang in here with me. We'll bring it all together. Now, this is the parable of the talents. You know, it's repeated in Matthew 25. We may turn over there in a little bit. Luke 19, 13th verse says, "So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, 'Do business till I come.'" I like that. In other words, go trade. Do something with this. He gave them something and told them to go do something with it. "But the citizens hated him," 14th verse, "and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading." So this was money that was invested. And when I teach on finances and we minister along those lines, I often use this parable, and over in Matthew 25 also, about investing. God wants you to invest. And there's many ways that God wants to prosper you. And it's very scriptural, very biblical to set aside money, to save money, and to invest money. You ought to give, you ought to tithe, you ought to work, you ought to budget, you ought to save, you ought to invest. Amen? Now that's literally what specifically the parable is about, is money, monetary things, money and investing. But if you'll back up and look at it spiritually, he's talking about being wise stewards of what God has given us. Amen? So it says the 16th verse, "Then came the first, saying, 'Master, your mina has earned 10 minas.'" In other words, whatever you gave me, multiplied it 10 times. Hallelujah, somebody. "He said to him, 'Well done. Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities.'" Wow. Now he's giving them authority over 10 cities because he's been faithful in little. Now if you think about what he's saying, let's just take it apart for a minute. Slow down, chew on it. Don't swallow this thing whole. Let's just chew on it, digest it. Being faithful over what God has given us. Being faithful over what God has given us. Being faithful over what God's given us. It's taking authority that God has given us. It's using the authority that God has given us. It's doing something with what God has given us. I mean, to find out that I can pray in the name of Jesus and have what I ask for is a wonderful thing to know. But see, knowledge is not power. Knowledge that's used is power. And the end of all knowledge is action. Be you doers of the word, not hearers only. Just to know something is not being faithful with it. To do something with what you know is being faithful. And that really is exercising authority. So when we talk about this authority we have, we do as Christians. We have a tremendous amount of power and authority as Christians and believers that we never had before we got saved, before we were born again. So the question would be, now that we have that, are we being faithful with the authority He's given us? Well, if we're praying for each other and believing God, we've got goals and dreams, and if we're pushing it, I like to say that because we do need to stretch our faith and push the limits. I believe that we could settle down in any church and any spiritual walk and just kind of plateau out and be okay and be happy and be saved and go to heaven, but we wouldn't be being faithful over what we've been given.
Yeah.
You know, we've always in our church stretched it. We've always stretched the limit. We always gone a little further than you would think in a church our size or a town our size, and done things that maybe not be common or natural. But as far as God's concerned, that's what He wants us to do. Take it to the limit. Raise it to the next level. Take it as far as you can take it. Keep building. Keep growing. Keep reaching out. Go on television if you can do that. Reach missions all around the world. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's amazing. Every time we've stretched ourselves, God just given us more authority.
Amen.
Just like on a job, the more you are faithful in the job that you've been given, the more you get promoted to another level. Isn't that true? Now, using authority in some circles may sound arrogant or may sound abusive, but actually God just calls it being faithful.
Right.
Praying and believing God and standing on the Word and kicking the devil out of your life and out of your family, that's being faithful. Because you've been faithful. Wow. So it'd be to not use authority, to never pray. And how many times has that happened? Have you ever been there? I've done it. How many? I could not count the times. You know, gone through a mess and realized, you know, I hadn't even turned this over to God. You ever done that? You ever, here I am, man. I'm a child of God. I got the Word of God. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the name of Jesus. I got it all. I got everything I need to make it. And yet I'm not doing anything with it.
Amen.
Now, we can kind of just repent and say, okay, God, I'm sorry, and go on and start praying. And that's true. We should repent and go ahead and start believing. But let's label that thing. What is that? That is being unfaithful. Unfaithful with something I've been entrusted with. A charge that God has given me. He's entrusted me with this. It means something. I have an obligation. I have a responsibility with this authority. So we can talk about authority, and we have it. Yes, we do. But the reason is to use it. Who he commended and who he said well done to were the people that used the ability he gave them, the power he gave them. He gave them money to trade. He gave them authority to do it. Now, granted, it was his stuff, but they would be irresponsible not to do something with the stuff that he gave them. So it says, the first came saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 mina, 17th verse, and he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also have be over 5 cities. I like that. So he just kind of went up in levels of authority. You know, I think that's so good. If you're faithful in the authority that you have now, using the word that you know now, doing the word that you've heard and gotten a hold of now, God will give you more revelation and give you more authority.
Amen.
Amen. That's pure and simple. That's not complicated. We know that. We see that on jobs. We see that in school. We see that in the house. Come on. Yeah. The more faithful you are and committed to do what you've been commissioned to do, the more you're going to move up in the company. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Use it or lose it. So he goes on and says, 20th verse, then another came, oh my, saying, Master, here is your mina which I have kept and put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you. Oh my goodness. You gave me all that stuff, I just didn't do anything with it, you know. I still got it, but I didn't do anything with it. For I feared you because you are an austere man or a severe, hard man, harsh man. You collect where you did not deposit, reap where you did not sow. Now, he's not talking about God here, obviously, because that's not God. And I said to them, out of your own mouth I will judge you. I love that.
Yeah.
That is powerful. Well, I just wish I could do something. You know, I just can't do anything. I can't seem to get anything right. Hey, stop talking like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I pray nothing ever happens. Hey, quit saying that. Are you with me? God has given you a charge. He's entrusted you with His Word and His name. When you pray, things do happen. Maybe you didn't get it done every time, but you know, you stay at it. One thing for sure, I can guarantee you this. If you never, ever tell anybody about Jesus, you'll never lead anybody to the Lord. I know that.
That's right. Amen.
I know that. If you never share your faith. But if you share your faith a lot of people are going to reject it, but you'll finally get someone who will accept it. And I can tell you this, if you never, ever pray for anybody that's sick, yourself, your family, your friends, neighbors, relatives, work, people you work with, if you never, ever pray for anybody that's sick, I can guarantee you you'll never see a healing take place.
That's right.
Unless you just come here. You can watch it here in the church, but you wouldn't be a part of it. You'd just be watching it. But if you do pray for sick people, you may not see them all get healed. Chances are probably not. Because everybody doesn't believe. I understand that. Just nobody, everybody believes when I tell them about the Lord. Not everybody believes when I pray for them. But I know one thing. The more I pray for people to be healed, the more I see people get healed.
Amen.
That's a guarantee. I mean, that's if you stay with it, if you take the risk, as it were. We call it risk in the natural, but it's not a risk with God. If you'll step out there on the water, if you'll just do what God says, just use what you've been given here. You may seem a little crazy, but, you know, you probably seemed a little crazy anyway. If God says it works, it works. You say, well, man, that just sounds a little nutty. Well, listen, God said so, just do it. Whatever it is that God said to do, just do it. Whatever promise it is that you're getting a hold of that's coming alive to you, pray that promise. Use that promise. Believe God. Pray over your business. Pray over your body. Pray over your relatives. Pray over your city. Are you with me? You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, what if it does happen?
Yeah.
Don't want to have that attitude of what if it doesn't happen. Amen. We want to use this. Is God? This is God's stuff.
Yeah,
it works.
Yes, that's right.
What we have is authority to use it. We don't need to be afraid and say it doesn't work. Because out of our own mouth we'll be judged concerning that matter. See, don't let that happen. You know, don't start praying and say, well, I don't know if it's going to work or not. No, it will work. God said it, it's going to work. It's God's word, it will work. God's given me authority to do this. He's put me in charge of this situation. He's given me the name of Jesus to handle the crisis and the tests and trials that come across my path. No, I don't have authority over everybody else, but I do have authority over my life.
Yeah.
I can't change every circumstance out there, but I can sure change the ones that come down my path, the ones that knock on my door. In fact, He's the one who put me in charge of it. You know, I said this other night, God didn't send the trial or the test to you. He sent you to the trial or the test. God doesn't send tests and trials. He sends us. Hello. We get so turned around. You know, what's God doing here? What's God doing here? He sent this. What's happening here? What's going on here? Well, I tell you what's going on here. If you want to know what God's doing, you. You are what God's doing.
Amen.
All this other stuff's going on. God's probably not doing any of that stuff. There may be some in there, that's some good that's happened. But anything bad, any tests, all those things, God's not doing that. God's doing you. God's into you. He is really into you. And God sent, when God sends something to someone, He sends you. Wow. So we need to do something.
That's right.
Amen. We've been given authority to do something. Let's do something with it. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I do have a reason and a purpose for being here. Wherever I am, God put me there to make a difference.
That's right. Amen.
To pray, to believe God. To pray His kingdom come, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm the one He put down here to do that. In other words, this is my classroom. I'm not talking about just the church as a whole here. I'm just saying whatever my life, a circle of influence, wherever I am, whether it's job, relatives, whatever, this is my classroom.
Amen.
You know, if you back up authority, you've got a teacher in a classroom, you've got a principal in the school, you've got a school board, superintendent, then you've got a school board, then you've got state of Texas. So authority just kind of delegated down. But the school board and the superintendent and the principal really don't exercise any authority in the classroom. Although they're over the teacher, the teacher's job in that classroom is to keep order and maintain it in that classroom because it's been delegated to that teacher.
Amen.
The teacher can't wait around for the principal to show up or the school board to show up because by that time it's too late. Probably that teacher's going to lose their job. Wouldn't you think so? If they never exercised authority, they were given to exercise. The whole purpose and point of giving it to that teacher was so we could spread this out a little bit.
Yeah.
And God has spread out His kingdom through us.
Wow.
He's spread out His authority through us. And He is well pleased and He promotes us as we use the authority we have been given. Will's point is not the responsibility of the churches in Terrell, Texas. Will's point is the responsibility of churches in Will's Point and surrounding areas, are you with me? And people that go in those churches that believe and join together and stood in faith. Hallelujah. It's our responsibility. We can do something about this. The real power is not in the White House. The real power is in my house. I'm not in the White House. I'm in my house. It's kind of gray with white trim. But the real power around there is in my house, on my knees, in Jesus' name, pray it. That's where the real authority is. Woo!
Amen.
Okay, so He says, out of your own mouth I'll judge you. You wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere or hard man or severe man, collecting what I did not deposit, reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank that at my coming I might have collected it with interest, at least gotten interest? He said to those who stood by, take the mina away from him and give it unto him who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10. You're giving more authority to the guy that already has a bunch of authority. Well, he's giving more authority to the guy that's using the authority.
Right.
Use it or lose it, amen. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Wow. That's strong stuff, amen. And really, he's talking about, he's talking about being faithful or a good steward of what God has given us. So, you know, when we speak about authority, we do get excited about the fact that we have that power in the name of Jesus to pray and believe God and change circumstance situations, to bring healing and deliverance and set people free. And, you know, even call the rain down. I mean, we have authority to do that. Believe God for rain. It's part of the blessing, and so on and so forth. But along with that right comes a responsibility to use it, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I said earlier that we talk a lot about the abuse of power and how irresponsible that is. But I reiterate this, it's just as irresponsible to not use power when it's been given to us. So, hey, we're party or privy, I'm sounding very literary here, to some tremendous insight and information here as Christians, as believers. We're getting some revelation from His Word. Awesome stuff. Wow. Praise God. But you know what? Every time we get something, we have a greater responsibility.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? And it's very important that we don't allow evil to reign when we have the power to overcome it. That we don't allow sickness and disease and poverty and all these things to take over our lives and the lives of our influence, our circle of influence. Edmund Burke said this, and it's not a scripture, but it's scriptural. He said, all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah.
Good men who aren't doing any good. Let's think about that. You know, they're good. They got the ability, but they're not doing anything about it. All that's necessary for evil triumph is for good men to do nothing. Are you with me? Being faithful is using authority. How'd you like to be faithful to God?
Amen.
I want to be faithful to God. So that means I have an obligation. I have a responsibility to pray and believe God, stand on His Word. To when I see injustice, to put on my Superman suit. Are you with me? To put on my Jesus suit. To put on my promises. To put on, you know, my authority. Start using that name. Start praying. Make a difference. To make a change. That's just being faithful. Amen?
Amen.
To use what God has given us is being faithful with what God has given. If we're faithful in little and using the authority over little, then God will put us over much. Actually give us more authority. You know, I started, even as a Christian, you see that in a church, you see that on a job. You know, I started out, when I first got saved, I didn't know anything about being a pastor or a teacher. I didn't sense that, didn't know anything about those kind of callings. I just got saved. I mean, I was born again, and I was excited about Jesus, and man, I just told everybody I knew about Jesus. I was witnessing and reading my Bible, and you know, God began to move me into more things. I mean, He called me to teach, and then I started going to prisons and open door missions, and I had no idea I'd be pastoring or, you know, ministering around the world. Are you kidding? I just started preaching everywhere I could preach. I'd go to prisons once a week. There was a prison we went to, municipal P Farm in Mackay Road, South Houston, low security prison. I used to go down there and preach and on Tuesday nights every week. And there was an Assembly of God lady that ran the service, and she liked us young guys to come down there and minister. She'd let us preach. And I cut my teeth doing that. I loved doing that. I'd go to open door missions once a month. I'd go to an open door mission down in Harrisburg. I'd go down there some and preach to people that came in that, you know, drunks and alcoholics and street people. They'd come in and get fed, and they'd have to hear a message. And then every week I'd go on Wednesday nights, I'd go down to Salvation Army, preach on Salvation Army. Before I'd go to Lakewood Church, I'd go down there at 5 or 5:30 and I'd preach there every Wednesday and go preach to all those people that were going to get a free meal if they heard my sermon. Because you have to hear the preaching to get to eat. That's just the way they got set up. You got to go through the chapel, sit down and hear a sermon, and then you have to go back through the altar to the door to the kitchen. And then before long, I started ministering at Lakewood Church. Started preaching the classes and started going out preaching and started doing missionary work. And, you know, looking back over my life, I began to see that it was only as I was faithful in the level that I was at that God began to move me to the next level.
Yes, right. Amen.
That was just the way God, that's the way God always does everything. But I was faithful there, and so He would move me up to another level, move me up to another level, move me up to another level, give me a little more authority. And goodness, I don't remember the last time I preached in a prison. Love prison ministry, but you know, just right now, that's not where I am. I mean, God's taking me to another level, somewhere else. Not that this is a higher level, it's just another calling. Hello.
Yeah.
I did cut my teeth there, and it helped me. It gave me a lot of confidence, because you have to be pretty bold when you're preaching to prisoners all the time. I mean, sometimes they'll talk back to you while you're preaching. At least they did in some of these places I went. I mean, I was preaching Micaiah Road Municipal Pea Farm one time, and this guy stood up and says, right in the middle of my message, he stood up and says, God made marijuana. What's wrong with smoking it? I am preaching a message. And this guy just stands up and hollers this out in this chapel about half this size. There was about 50 people in there, I guess, 50, 60 people. And I mean, you know, of course, then you get bold. You have to be because you're, you know, you're in charge. It would be irresponsible for me to let that guy continue when I was in authority there. So I said, God made oak trees, but you don't smoke them. God made mountains, but you don't jump off of them. Now sit down and shut up. I'm telling you how to be saved. Be quiet and listen to me. That's what I said. And he shut up and sat down. And I began to finish my message. I remember I was in Harris County Jail one time. I don't know why I think about all these stories. I was in Harris County Jail in Houston, Texas. I was preaching. This guy stood up and began to quote out of Revelation where they were thrown in prison for 10 days. You'll be thrown in prison for 10 days, but be faithful. That's what God told one of the churches in Revelation. And right in the middle of my preaching, I don't like to be interrupted, so don't try this, okay? No, I've mellowed out a whole lot since then, but that helped me preaching those. It gave me a lot of confidence. I mean, if you can look at guys that don't want to be there, that just talk back to you, you know, you get to where nothing bothers you anymore. But I remember him standing up and saying that. And it just came to me so fast. I said, oh, you were put in prison for preaching the gospel? You know, he was trying to justify himself being in there and finding a scripture that said they would put you in. Well, he just shut up and sat down when I said that. And I said, you guys are in here because you sinned. You guys are in here because you messed up. God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. Let's don't justify what we've done here. Are you with me? That's the last thing you want to do. Anyway, quit with all those stories. I was faithful to do that, and as I was faithful to do that, God began to move me in other areas. I preached at Lakewood, preaching the classes for years there. Then I started doing missionary work, and wow, and now I wound up here. Hallelujah. Thank God for Will's point. Amen? Praise God. But it's a matter of use. It's a matter of using what... If I hadn't done anything with the call of my life, are you kidding? I still would be, you know, studying in my closet, I guess. But it's as I got out there and took risk in the natural. We call them risk because it is kind of new area, new territories. What's going to happen if I step out there? What if I don't make it? Hey, what if you do make it? Nobody ever succeeds without failing lots of times anyway.
That's right.
Always, you know, I heard this, that not only that you have to fail a lot to succeed, you have to have a lot of ideas to have a good idea. You got to have a lot of dreams to have one dream come to pass. You got to get out there. You got to do something. You got to pray a lot to have prayers answered.
Yeah, come on.
You got to pray for a lot of sick people to see some people healed. Yeah. You got to witness a lot of people to see somebody get saved. You got to keep coming. You got to in churches that way. You got to keep coming to church to all of a sudden hit that service that just changes your life. And I don't say this in a negative way, but not every single service is always going to change your life. But if you keep coming and you're faithful, you don't know which one's going to do it.
Yeah.
You just don't know which one's going to do it. And the thing is, all those services build in you and get you ready for that service. Amen? Wow. You want to be faithful. Amen? You want to use authority. Let's don't abuse authority, but let's don't double negative. Let's don't not use authority. Turn to Matthew 25. Does this help anybody? Matthew 25. You know, I get up and minister I've been meditating on during the week and what's been rolling around on the inside of me. And because that's usually what comes out the best and the hottest and, you know, the most practical, the most useful. Sermons aren't any good if they're not useful. They're supposed to be used. Words are supposed to be done. We're not supposed to be hearers but doers. Amen. So really there should always be a practical side to whatever we minister and whatever we preach. We're not just preaching to put out information. We're preaching to change lives. And you ought to come to church for that intent and purpose also. Now if you think you got everything, you wouldn't come to church. Wouldn't need to. But if you realize you can grow, you'd be here every time the door opens. Amen. Because there's always something we need. Amen. I need some edges honed off me. I need to be reminded of things that I might have already known but I'm not doing. I need to be challenged, shaken a little bit, corrected. That's fine. Nothing wrong with correction. Correction is a good thing.
Yes.
Amen. Rebuked for sin. Sometimes I'll get in the Word and I'll find out how dumb I've been in an area. And I think, God, I am so sorry. I needed that. I needed that correction, that rebuke. I completely missed it there. Father, forgive me. I want to get back on the right track here. See, these are boundary lines. The Word keeps us in line. You bump over on one side, the Word will keep you from falling over in the ditch. And I know a lot of our life is just bumping from one side to the other, but at least we're still on the road. Amen? stay with it. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, I was going to read that out of the message. Well, just listen. Hold your place there in Matthew 25. I'm going to read out of Luke 19, the message. The next servant said, Master, starting at 21st verse, here is your money safe and sound. I keep it hidden in the cellar. To tell you the truth, I was a little afraid. I know you have high standards and hate sloppiness and don't suffer fools gladly. He said, you're right that I don't suffer fools gladly, and you have acted the fool. Why didn't you at least invest the money in securities so I'd have gotten a little interest on it? Then he said to those standing there, take the money from him and give it to the servants who doubled my stake. They said, but Master, he already has double. He said, that's what I mean. Risk your life and get more than you ever dreamed of. Play it safe and end up holding the bag. Man, I love that. And that's what we do a lot of times. We don't want to rock the boat, you know. Not pray, not believe God, not stand on the Word or whatever, not be vocal with our faith or whatever the case may be. But you know, really, when you think about it, James said this. It says, to him that knoweth do good and doeth not, it's sin. I think, see, abuse of power would be a sin of commission. We've committed a sin by abusing, misusing power. Use it wrongly. But the lack of use of power be the sin of omission. We have omitted it. There really is no neutral when you think about it, being a Christian. As a Christian, we hear something. We're supposed to do it. And, of course, I'm talking to people that do it. I mean, you know, if you hear God heals, then get healed. Man, go get healed. Pray for healing. Amen. If you hear that God really doesn't want you to go under financially, then you need to believe God to go over financially.
Yeah. Amen.
You need to pray and believe God. Pray over your business. Pray over your contacts, your whatever it is that you do. Pray and believe God. Trust God to bless you. Forget the recession. Trust God. We don't just have the privilege or the right, we have the responsibility. Because really, think about it, I am God's stuff. You're God's stuff. He wants us to increase. He wants us to shine. Amen?
That's right.
Yeah, the New Living Translation on that James 4:7 says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it.
Amen.
Is that 7? What did I say? 4:17, yeah. I knew that. I just didn't have my glasses on. It was blurred on my page. 4:17. Think about it this way. Proverbs 15:2. This is a good one. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Well, there's a wrong way and a right way to use knowledge, but I'll tell you what's always wrong is to never use it at all. Notice it didn't say the tongue of the wise doesn't abuse knowledge. Well, you cannot abuse knowledge just by not using it. But then in one sense, that would be an abuse because you didn't use it. It says that the tongue of the wise useth knowledge.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, there's a lot of insight there too. How do you use knowledge? The tongue. So all this is no good if you don't put it in your tongue.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, you can abuse it and put it in the tongue the wrong way, but the tongue of the wise uses it right. But safe to say, and the point I'm making here, is the tongue of the wise does use it.
Right.
It doesn't sit on it. The tongue of the wise uses it. And so we want to use knowledge. Knowledge is meant to be used. And, you know, I said that earlier. You know, knowledge is power. People say that. It's not. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is actually worthless if you don't do anything with it.
That's
right.
Now, using knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Amen. To him that knoweth to do good doeth not its sin. So here we have authority. Okay, great, I got authority. But see, I'm supposed to exercise the authority.
Yep.
I'm in that classroom. God's given me, delegated to me the authority in this classroom. But if things start going wrong, I need to do something and use the authority. What's going wrong in your life? What's going wrong in my life? See, we need to ask ourselves that question. What authority has God given me to take care of this situation? Many times we're waiting on God. He's waiting on us. And sometimes we just want to pull the covers over and hope the bad men go away. You know, and just ignore it. But the Bible did not say, whosoever shall ignore this mountain. It says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to sea, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. He didn't say he'd have whatever he wanted, or have whatever he desired, or have whatever he thought. It says he'll have whatever he says.
Right.
So that was taking the authority and speaking to the mountain. Okay, Matthew, you found it?
Yes.
Let's wrap this up. Hallelujah. This is good stuff.
Yes.
Matthew 25, same account here. 16th, let's see. See if I'm in the right spot. Yes. Would help if I turned to the right page. 25th verse. Let's just jump right in here. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here's what you gave me. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I think King James says unprofitable. Does it say that? Or does it say that? Something along those lines. You wicked and lazy servant, slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have, you ought to, you ought to, you ought to. There's some things we just ought to do. And I'll take, you know, I'm taking my time with this, but this is good stuff. We ought to use authority. We ought to use the gifts God gave us. We really ought to.
Yeah.
Amen? Mm-hmm. We ought to. You ought to. Woohoo. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, to him will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even that which he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable. You know, that's what we're talking about. I don't want to be unprofitable. I have a trust and a charge to keep. You know, I'd be unprofitable if I didn't pray for this church and didn't study and didn't minister and didn't reach out. Are you with me? I would be gifted but unprofitable. So to not use authority is to be unprofitable, unfaithful. To use authority is to be faithful and profitable for the master's use. Amen? Really, it boils down to this. There's three kinds of people in this world. There's people that make things happen, people that watch things happen, and people don't know what's happening. Isn't that right? God's put us in the category of people that make things happen. We are here to make a difference, to use authority, and in that sense, to be responsible. To not pray is to be unprofitable, to be irresponsible. So thank God for a great teaching. Hallelujah. Thank God for gifts. Thank God for talents. Thank God for revelation. I love the revelation I get from God's Word, but there's a purpose to it. God is training us. He's moving us up. You know, I mentioned this the other day, that God wants to raise us up, just like He raised children. The whole point of raising children is to raise them, not to leave them where they are. God didn't just save us to save us. Oh, He loves us and He wants us to go to heaven, no question. But He didn't want to leave us there in an immature, saved state. He wants to take us and mature us and use us for the kingdom, for the Master's use. Hallelujah. To give us authority and use us to reach others. And if you've been healed, you ought to go out and lay hands on others to be healed. If you've been saved, you ought to go out and tell others about salvation. If you've been enlightened and helped and comforted in a time of tragedy, then when you see someone else in a time of tragedy, you ought to reach out and with the comfort that you've received, comfort them. Amen? That's just being profitable. Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give your bosom. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. If you're always praying for people, God will put on people's hearts to pray for you.
Amen.
If you're always giving and helping, God will send people across your path. You know, we've had some supernatural miracles in our church, financial miracles of gifts and giving people. Just amazing. And, you know, we don't do a lot of fundraisers. We don't We don't have any building pledges or building offerings. I mean, people give, and we, you know, we put it in a building fund, but we hadn't taken one building offering. Not one. We took a land offering one time in the other building to pay for 3.5 acres one time. I think one night we took a land offering. But because we give, we're always talking about our giving, God just sends people across our path. Because we've been faithful in that area, God's faithful to make sure our needs are met. You know, I've said this before, if you make others your business, He'll make you His business. Hallelujah. Authority? Yeah, we got it. No question about it. Question should be, what are we going to do with it?
Amen.
You know, abuse or lack of use? That is the question. To use or not to use? That is the question. Amen. And we're going to use it. Amen.